Hey guys, welcome to the Favor Firm Show here again with my co-host here, John Zimmel. You know, guys, we are so excited because the weather here is beautiful. It's like 94 degrees here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. Yeah. Guys, you know what? I don't even have my jacket on today. So
no, I know. You're jacketless.
It is hot, you know? I feel like I'm ready to rumble.
I feel like I already rumbled. I'm sweating already.
Yeah. Hey, talking about ready to rumble, my boy, Mike Buff, I'll tell you, I'm so proud of Mike. I remember when he first started out as a ringside announcer. He wasn't, let's get ready to rumble. His thing was, man your battle station. That was Mike Buff at the beginning. Then he changed it around. He got a nice trademark, and I'm so proud of him. I love him. He's a good man. He's a great husband, and his wife, Christine, he's just a beautiful guy. I wish you guys were able to meet Mike Buff in person. He's the kind of guy that he is. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Talk about boxing and all these ring announcers around the world. You know, he has some of the great ones around the world. It's kind of hard to beat Mike Buffer. What do you
think? No, well, he was the first guy ever to really do that. I mean, no one else ever really did what he did, came out and made it his own. And so no one else has really tried, or if they have, then they, I mean, you know, him and his brother, you know, they both, those guys kind of run it. It's awesome. I don't know, you don't want anybody else,
well,
you know?
His brother does the UFC.
They both go out Bruce, there ready to roll. Bruce Buffer, that's right. I couldn't think of his name, but you're right.
Yeah, Bruce is a good guy, another sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, they're both good dudes, and you're right. They're the best ringside announcers.
They're the best. I mean, one thing about Mike, he's such a perfectionist. I mean, if he's getting ready to do a show, he's taking his little notes. Don't bother him because he is so focused, making sure that everything is precise the way it's supposed to be. But I remember one time when he first started out, he says, and the referee in this fight is Joe Ortiz. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, excuse me, it's Cortez. Mike Buffer, man, he's the best, man. I love him, man.
Joe Ortiz.
I mean, we go back in the 70s, you know, late 70s when I started out, when he started out as well. And I'm so proud to say he's my friend and a great ring announcer.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what, boxing's heating back up.
Oh.
We did it again. We were worried because all this everything's going on with Canelo. We were worried that after a great start to the beginning of the year that it might not, it was starting to slow down. We hadn't had any big fights for 3 weeks and we're back, baby. This weekend was real.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, watching Adrian Broner fight a Jesse Vargas. Now, Jesse Vargas here from Las Vegas was really hoping to get that win.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to have him on the show tomorrow. I'm going to do something a little special with him tomorrow, a little interview about him and Broner and where he's going from here. I think a rematch would be the best thing to do to settle matters. But there's other guys out there, you know, barking. They want to fight Broner. Yeah. Or they want to fight Jesse. I would like to see Jesse and Broner do the second one, get this thing squared away, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, because, you think a rematch?
Yeah, well, I think a rematch would be good. But, you know, Jesse had to come back and catch weight at 144.
Okay.
He's a welterweight.
Yeah, full-fledged.
I mean, Broner is talking. He's the best, or whatever he says he is. Come up and fight at 147.
Yeah.
That's where he should fight at before. Why go down to 144?
147 is where welterweights should fight.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
You know, they're fighting that super...
the super belt thing?
Oh, come on. I mean, they're fighting at 144. And you know what? I want to see Jesse and Broner get it on again. Here in Las Vegas. Let it be here in Las Vegas. I'm sure they have a good sellout crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be great to have as a main event, maybe at the T-Mobile.
Lots
arena.
Of people want Broner, man, because Broner gets buys. Yeah. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but the guy is exciting. He really is. I mean, when he comes out there and talks, it makes you know, whether you root for him or against him, he's exciting.
He is exciting.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, his father comes today with that brush and always brushing his hair, you know? Couldn't do that to me.
No, you couldn't.
I got no hair.
Exactly.
I think
they're funny. And you know, Amir Khan wants him.
Hey, Amir Khan looked great.
Amir Khan's another guy who, because he has his following, he had all these fans coming up when he was an up and comer and the fastest man on 2 feet.
Yeah.
It was like Ryan Garcia, but from England. And just this young kid with nothing but the utmost speed. And he was just damaging people, and he still has a lot of fans from that. Him and Broner would get a lot of buys.
Yeah, exactly. I think Amir Khan still has a little spark.
Me too.
And I think he got a little spark of the old Flash. He's really got the speed. He's still got the punching power. He put away this kid Phil LaGreco away at 53 seconds of the first round.
No, exactly. And LaGreco's no slouch. I mean, he's not a world beater, but he's not a slouch.
I'm glad he got by because now he's in a mix again.
I mean, he hasn't fought since he got knocked out by Canelo, and he looked good in that fight till he got knocked out by Canelo. Exactly. I mean, we've all known his chin was the big thing, and Canelo was looking for the big punch. He found it. He's got power.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking about two guys who are outside the top five in welterweights, in my opinion. I mean, well outside that top five. And they're still, like, they probably get more buys than a Spence Porter fight. You know what I mean? They're two guys who I consider top fivers.
Right. Amir Khan has a great following, especially in Great Britain.
Absolutely.
I mean, they love me. I mean, the one thing I got to take off my hat to the Brits because they are loyal to, they're loyal fans.
They stand by their guys.
They stand by their guys, you know. They even come out.
Huge crowds.
They come out here to Vegas to watch a fight, and it's good. I mean, even when they had Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah, it's Irish, but still, yeah, I agree with you.
They're okay to support him as well, you know?
No, it's amazing, man. The amount of, the way the fans will follow, especially the British fans, you notice now, you saw it with Hatton.
Yeah.
You saw it with being in that ring, I can only imagine.
But, you know, can you imagine with Anthony Joshua.
He's a big.
He's a huge. I mean, they just had 78,000 fans out there watching him fight when he beat Joseph Parker the other day, about a month ago. And it goes to show he has a big following, huge following. And you go online and you see
followers
that he has.
I'm telling you, every forum you go on is more British than American, which is insane because boxing is a British sport now just because of Anthony Joshua. Well, it's fun. I mean, I'm saying right now it's so much fun when you watch. My sister lives in London. Shout out if you're watching, by the way. And she told me that she was like, yeah, would you guys talk about Anthony Joshua? It was the only person that she knew. It was the only fighter she ever heard of.
Yeah, well, I think Anthony Joshua brings a lot to boxing, a lot to Great Britain, and especially the fans here, around the world. They're anxious to see the heavyweight division get it going again.
Undeniably.
Because, I mean, since Mike Tyson, when he was a unified champion, now Anthony Joshua owns three of the belts, the IBF, WBO, and the WBA.
Everything but the green one.
The green one is the one he won, which is the one that Wilder had, which is WBC, World Boxing Council. And that's the green belt. That's the one everybody wants.
Exactly.
So let's see what happens with that fight. Hopefully it happens by the end of the year. But I really think that they're going to...
I think they're going to stretch it out a little more,
They're going to stretch it out a little bit more like they did with Canelo.
And Triple G?
Yeah, I think so, too. They stretch it out for a couple of years.
Hopefully they don't stretch it out that long. But I think they'll stretch it out one more year.
Yeah, maybe.
I think fan pressure is actually getting to them. You notice that? Where Eddie Hearn wouldn't even say Deontay Wilder's name a year ago, and now every interview has to do with him. I mean, it's kind of interesting. So, fans, if you're out there, that's a fight you want to see. Don't ever be afraid. This is the world we live in now. Social media, you can reach out to the promoters and say, we want these fights. You didn't used to be able to do that.
Exactly.
So, it's exciting.
Now, all over the world, you go now, everybody, Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua.
He's a big name. So is Wilder, but Joshua, because he resembles something of Muhammad Ali.
Oh.
He got the physique. I mean, the guy's in... And 150%.
And that big Klitschko fight was a big one. I mean, coming back from that knockdown and making him the stoppage, that was a big deal for around the world.
Yeah, well, what happens in boxing, you can be a champion or a challenger, whatever. You get knocked down and you get back up and you win. That's what the fans want to see.
Exactly. I mean, it's like a Rocky movie.
Exactly.
You
get the words out of my mouth.
Was that what you were going to say? I mean, look at Andre Ward. That was Andre Ward's best moment, getting knocked down in the first couple of that fight. Biggest test he ever had, coming back and winning that fight.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know some people still think he didn't win, but that was something that he prides himself on immensely. I mean, that getting up from that, being knocked down, like a Rocky movie.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to give a shout out to our fans out there all around the world, Latin America. Estamos aquí para dar la información. Él no habla español porque él es un gringo que no habla español, pero yo hablo español. Anyway, John, we love John. John is like everybody's asking me about John. We love him. He's a good man. He's always trying to give us the best information. Brings a lot of energy to the Favorite Firm show, and we're proud to have you as a team.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I'm happy to be on the show. Well, it's really fun.
I know you're the right guy for this show.
Well, I appreciate that.
Fans want to see that. It's like a rising star in boxing. You got this kid with Ryan Garcia.
Ryan Garcia.
Right? Rising star in boxing.
He fights next week.
Yeah, and then you got this kid, Devin Henley. Devin Henley. Devin Henley is a young fighter who's 19 years of age, and he has 23 fights under his belt.
Oh, wow. Professional?
That's
amazing.
And 23 wins. The kid, Floyd Mayweather, he's 135 pounds.
Okay.
He's sparred with Mayweather. He's sparred with some of the good ones at Mayweather gym. And And you'll be seeing a little bit about
him. Who's he signed to?
I don't know who he signed up with yet.
We got to check it out. Yeah, we got to check it out. I'm excited. I didn't know that.
But he's here from Las Vegas, and his dad has been behind his son. I met the kid when he was about 14 years old, and I told his dad back then up in Mesquite. Mesquite, Nevada is about 95 miles north of Las Vegas.
I love Mesquite.
Yeah, and I started a boxing club up there.
Do you have the Mesquite boxing club?
Yeah, I started up there about 12, 13 years ago. They never had boxing in Mesquite. Now they have regular boxing there with the National Golden Gloves and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
And that's where I saw this kid, Devin Haney, fighting and for a National Junior Championship.
Oh, wow.
And winning. And I told his dad, this kid's got great talent. This kid's going places. And here he is. Nevada gave him a license when he was at the age of 17.
Oh, wow. They don't know. They don't usually do that.
No, normally you have to be 18.
18, yeah.
But they gave it to him because he's an exception. He has...
Yeah, they've done that in the past, but not usually.
Yeah, and he's got a license. I remember Wilfredo Benitez. Wilfredo Benitez from Puerto Rico won his first world championship at the age of 17. That's never mind getting a license at 17. He was already champion at 17, beating Pambelay.
17 years old.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
No.
Some fighters are born without talent.
Yeah.
I think this kid, Devin Haney, has the talent. Even Floyd Mayweather is saying that, his father saying it. This is the next superstar in boxing. Devin Haney, H-A-N-E-Y. Check him up online. You can see, Google him. Do a FaceTime.
I'm going to check him out.
Do on YouTube. Go on YouTube.
I like watching young prospects.
Man, this kid is super. Unbelievable talent. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
You're going to see him. Mark my word. You guys are going to say, Joe, man, you called it again. You on target with this one.
Say, yeah, how far do you think the Ryan Garcia fight goes?
Ryan Garcia, well, he's a nice, young, up-and-coming rising star.
Absolutely.
Golden Boy promoting him.
Yeah, and they do so great, man. They really are great promoters. I mean, that's their job, is to promote. And they're great with that hype machine. I mean, look what they did with Canelo. I mean, they take these kids who are really good, and they can build them up to where everyone knows their name. I mean, it's crazy how many people know Ryan Garcia's name. He's 19 or whatever he is. 20.
Exactly. But, you know, you got some fighters that a top-notch fighters. I mean, just probably one of the best heavyweights out there right now. We don't know where he's at. Maybe he's like super, but they're going to have to market these fighters. Any weight class. You got fighters out there. Probably
look at Triple G, his whole career until now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard when you don't have, when you're not, you know, out there promoting yourself and having the team. And I'm nothing against his team. Loeffler and all them. I just mean that, like, it's hard to sometimes gain traction, and that's one thing you got to give Golden Boy a lot of credit for. They put a lot behind their fighters.
Exactly. What else was supposed to be in boxing, you know? And today with social media, the way it is, it's not like in the old days. The old days, you have nothing. You had your neighbors, your friends. You try to sell tickets to your own friends so you can get a crowd to watch it.
I mean, look what Eddie Hearn's done with Danny Jacobs. I mean, since Danny Jacobs has been back and signed with Matro, I mean, every one of his fights is a big deal. I mean, he's fighting with Barclays this week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it should be good.
It could be good. You know, you have a lot of good fights coming up, and we don't want to go into the Cinco de Mayo event, which is Triple G's fighting.
But we'll go in next week.
Next week we'll
talk about. And Chocolatito, by the way. That'll be a good, his return.
Exactly. But I can tell you that boxing these days, we said 2017 was one of the better years.
Undeniably, yeah.
Yeah, and we're hoping that 2018 will be another good year. And it looks like we're getting that.
It's so far so great, man. I've been excited every single. I mean, we've seen superstars being born. Errol Spence was born. Jermall Charlo this weekend was born. I figured we'd get into that, but
you know, Jermall Charlo, his brother's challenging one of the other champions out there. He wants to unify the titles. You know.
Yeah, Jermell and Jermall, and they're both studs. Yeah, Jermall is a superstar in the making. I mean, if you saw what he did, they were doing a breakdown. Pauly Malignaggi, who I know you've worked with many times. He was doing a breakdown of how he changed his hook so that it was an inside hook. Like, Hugo's hand was up here, and so he was already throwing the hook, and he just inverted it. And Pauly said the same thing. Cotto did the same thing to him when he was fighting, and that's what got the knockout. It was outstanding.
You got to know how to throw that hook, you know, if you're going to throw it like this, or you're going to throw it right in the head. So it's a different way, different.
It was so cool to see him alter it on the fly. Like, he's in the middle of throwing it, and he just kind of turns it in and gets the knockout.
And the guy blocks it, then he just turns it, boom.
Bam.
Actually, you see, a left hook is a punch that comes in this way. You got to be here. And normally you're looking here, but you don't see it when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so with a punch that comes with a hook, it comes in this direction. You can be blocking here, but that's one of the best punches. Either the right hook this way or the left hook that way.
Yeah, and he was up too high with the defense, and so he went inward.
And then some guys, you know, they're pretty good blockers. So what do? They come in with the uppercut inside, right in between the guards. They come in this way. You either get them here. If you miss here, you're going to get them here.
Yeah.
So you go here. I mean, you got to, boxing is a science. You really have to figure your way out in that ring. But sometimes you got these guys with all this power and technique, like Charlo does.
Yeah.
This kid, Devin Haney, I'll tell you, he has it all. I mean, he's in there with some of the best right now, some of the best fighters, even champions. And you have some of these champions, I'll say, oh, this kid.
He's 23, is it?
No, he's 19.
He's 19 now.
But 23
and 0. I'm sorry.
I believe he has 18 knockouts, if I'm mistaken.
He's at 135 at that age. That's great, man. That means he can, I mean, you got a lot of options if you're 135 and 19.
No, from there, he's going to go. Pacquiao made it for 118 to 154.
Pacquiao out?
You know, this kid can make it for 135 to 168. Eventually.
Probably, yeah. That's what I'm saying. He could probably end up super middleweight.
And he got the hate. He got the height. I'm sorry. He got the height.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, you can go all the way. I mean, that's the thing. When you got those kind of options, I mean, you look at a guy like Lomachenko who can do it all, but he probably can't go all the way up to 147. He's already 30 years old, let's be honest. Yeah. 140 is probably his limit.
It probably is.
Which is okay.
It's okay. I don't know.
But if you're already starting at 135, you can go all the way up to middleweight, higher.
Exactly. Exactly. And especially at that age.
Oh, my God. The sky's the limit.
19. You watch. Remember the name, guy. I keep saying it. Devin Haney, H-A-N-E-Y.
Haney or Haney, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, check him out. He's unbelievable.
You look at Mikey Garcia and how he's able to traverse. Whoa. I mean, he's all the options are in his... Because he could go back down to 130 and fight Lomachenko and Easter and all that. Or go up to 147 and fight...
He's not going to go down to 130. Come on.
I think... Well, he's staying at 135 right now. Yeah. He abandoned the 140. Yeah. But that's the point. He has options for 12 pounds.
I think Lomachenko will have to go up in weight. If you want to make... Lomachenko wants to make some big money. You want to go... He got to go up in weight. Let him chase...
Garcia.
Why should Garcia go down to 135 and risk...
Well, it depends on who would be the A-side, of course. You know what I mean? I mean, that's really what you have to ask yourself is who's garnering more money. But you never know. Mikey Garcia's got a big fan base. As big as, as much as Lomachenko's got a big fan base, so does Mikey Garcia. I think they'd meet at 135, and I think that'd be a good match. That's the fight. I'll tell you, that's one of the five fights I want to see, more than anything.
Yeah, that definitely I want. And Mikey Garcia, I've always told his brother, Robert, you know what? Your brother, not to take anything away from you, are a great champion, but you know what? Your brother is really
Robert Garcia
super.
Was a trainer of the year 2016, right? He's a great trainer, man. He's
a great trainer and a nice guy. He's a gentleman, got a lot of class. I like the way he carried himself and his father. The father was the one who really started the
shepherded them all in.
Yeah.
Robert Garcia, when they have they got a lot of interviews of him on badlefthook.com and a lot of other websites, which, by the way, shout out to badlefthook.com. I love that website.
Yeah.
And but if he's talking about Lomachenko, he seems a little biased, but anyone else, I'd want to hear what he has to say about everybody because he's just a super sharp boxing mind. I love that guy.
Exactly. No, boxing is really is in a hot.
Yeah.
Right,
oh, my
now.
God. Speaking of prospects, look at Gervonta Davis. He moved, I think, 19-0 with 18 knockouts and put down Jesus Cuellar, who's not a slouch at all.
No, right. Up Argentina. He
a hard Argentina
fighter.
He put
him down three times.
Exactly.
And the referee, rightfully, Benji Estevez, just like he said, that's it.
Yeah, no mas.
No mas. I said, Benji Estevez, great referee out
yes,
there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And I'm so proud of some of these referees out there. I watch him. Benji Stevens, you got Mark Nelson, you got Mike Ortega, you got Kenny Bayless, Tony Weeks, Russell Moore, just to name a few.
Legends.
Luis Pavon. You got so many great referees out there that I've been watching and I've been, saying to myself, this is what I wanted to see when I retire. See the nice referees. Hey, by me stepping down 6 years ago after 35 years in the ring, I said, you know what? I'm going to step down. But I'm going to leave boxing in good hands.
You left the sport in great hands.
Yeah, so they were like a cushion for me to step down. It didn't hurt me so much.
Nah, man, exactly. You weren't letting down the world of boxing. You were doing the next thing.
Yeah, but I knew when it was time for me to go out, and especially knowing that I was helped grooming these referees to get to the level. When I saw they were there, I said, I'm content.
And what was the last fight that you ever refereed?
It was Canelo Alvarez, Joselito Lopez.
Josecito fights this weekend, right?
Yeah, he fights this weekend.
Yeah.
That's right, he's fighting this weekend again.
There's a few guys still out there that you refereed.
I just don't want to see nobody get hurt.
I agree.
Canelo.
Well, I'll say Benji stopped the fight right at the right time to me. Okay. After that third one, it didn't look like, the guy wasn't done, but he shouldn't have kept fighting. Right. I mean, it was the end of that fight.
Yeah, right, because, if you let him get knocked down, if you didn't stop it, and they go, it was three times already.
Well, sometimes, like you always talk about with Marquez and Pacquiao the first time, sometimes you look at somebody and you go, you keep going. But I think Benji made the right move here in this case, and because it's a case-by-case basis, like you always say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why there's no three knockdown rule anymore.
Yeah, not exactly. I mean, I remember it when it was before, back in the old days, three knockdowns in the same round, automatically over. And I know that Benji was watching out for the safety of the fighter. Benji's always been on top of his game, doing a good job. And I saw Russell Moore the other night. He refereed some fight here in Vegas. And he stopped the fight perfect. He came over here Saturday night to celebrate. Hey, happy shout out. Happy anniversary to Russell and Denise Moore.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
To the Moore family.
Yeah, another guy I want to wish happy birthday to is Hector Lopez. I'm sorry, Jesus Lopez, who's I keep confusing him with another Hector Lopez, yeah. A good friend that I have. But Jesus Lopez is a great commentator. He's on our team with us.
Yes, he is.
He's busy today with some issues, personal issues he got to take care of. But Jesus Lopez is the voice, the Hispanic voice of the Golden Knights.
Second round playoff Golden Knights, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, and he's doing a great job commentating. I love the way he calls the game.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's like the old soccer.
Old soccer.
Let's go! It's all goal! I can't do it, but he's the way he does it. So great.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
JC from Against the Ropes, thanks you for the support.
Who's that?
JC from the Against the Ropes.
Oh, yeah, you got a good website as well. I like your JC out there. I like your show, what you blew out there. You give a lot of information to the fans. We like to see that.
There's a lot of good shows out there, man. Yeah. I mean, ours is obviously the best, but there's a lot of good shows. I listen to Sunday Puncher. That's a pretty good podcast. Yeah. There's a lot of good podcasts. I'm kidding, obviously.
You know what? We're not the best, but we're hard to beat. I'm not gonna say I'm the best, but we may not be the best, but we're hard to beat.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
A lot of good guys out there have great websites.
But there are some great shows, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, I go on badlefthook.com every day. The boxing subreddit, by the way, Jesse Vargas, I want to talk to him. He did a Ask Me Anything on boxing subreddit this week, right before the fight. I mean, it's just that ability to, like we were talking about in social media, be able to actually reach out and talk to the fighters right now and the promoters and have them talk back to you. It's just such an awesome time for boxing.
We have the luxury that we're the boxing capital of the world.
Exactly, that helps too.
And we have Jesse Vargas who lives out here, so he'll be on the show with us tomorrow.
And we're friends with Joe Cortez, who's got
he can talk to me. He sent me a text today. He thought the show was tomorrow, but anyway, we'll make an exception. We'll have Jesse Vargas on tomorrow explaining to you guys what happened Saturday night.
He came out hot, man. He came out. He dominated in the beginning.
Well, you know what? I like the jazz. He came out with those jazz. Mm-hmm. He came out with combination. He kept the speed going. If you keep your opponent busy trying to the defense, he can't throw back at you that easy. So he was doing that the first four or five rounds.
Yeah, do you think he took his foot off the gas? You think it was fatigue?
No, I don't know if he was fatigued, but I don't know what went wrong. That's why I want to.
You think Broner made adjustments? Yeah, I'm curious what you think before we ask him.
Both.
Yeah, I think
made some adjustments.
He clearly did, by the way.
And then Jesse Vargas had to change his style, and then by Broner making the adjustment, that Jesse should have made the adjustment like he made in the last two rounds. Try to do that.
Turn that on earlier. Yeah. I agree.
But sometimes it's easy to say from the outside, but when you're in that ring.
Oh, my God.
You got punches coming from all angles. You can't think that
fast. It's not chess. No, it's chess while you're getting punched in the face is what it is, and that's tougher.
Yeah, just when you have a plan, you get punched in the mouth.
Exactly.
And everything changes.
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Ain't that the truth? Well, I thought we saw the birth of two stars, genuine stars, in Gervonta and especially in Jamal. He made the middleweight division fun now. Because before, what did we have? We had Triple G and Canelo. And then Billy Joe Saunders came out and beat Lemieux and beat the brakes off of Lemieux.
Yeah.
And so now we had a third guy, third guy really in the mix. After what Jamal Charlo did to Hugo Centeno Jr., who's not a slouch, a really good middleweight, watching what he did and able to knock him out, I think we got a real division now in middleweight.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes it fun.
Yeah, and but that kid I was talking about before, Devin Haney, he's calling out Robert Easter.
Oh, wow.
He's calling him out.
That's a scary thing to do.
Well, Robert Easter is a good fighter. You know, he got the height.
Robert Easter's a bad man.
Yeah, he's bad. But
if you think you got it, you got it. 23-0. It's hard to see yourself losing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's only
Easter.
19.
Yeah.
He's only 19. I want to see.
You think he's ready for Easter?
Maybe he's ready for Thanksgiving. I don't know about Easter.
I want to see Mikey Garcia fight Easter next.
Huh?
I want to see Mikey Garcia fight Easter.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it was up to me.
I'll tell you, yeah, Mikey Garcia is. Would be a good fight with Eastern, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight, man. I'm telling you. Because other than that, I really just want to see Mikey fight anyone, under 147.
Yeah.
I just want to see him fight Eastern and Lomachenko.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of fighters call out these champions. They know they fight delicious. Start saying something.
It's something to say.
It doesn't hurt because you're marketing yourself. And people say, come on, that little young guy, he's a little too young.
Exactly.
But he's winning rugby. He's 19. Maybe by the time he's
we're talking about him on the best boxing podcast on the planet. So it's pretty...
And talking like that, before you know it, 1 year, 2 years are up. And Easter will say, I'm ready for you now.
Exactly.
And the kid will be ready. He'll be 21.
He'll be 21 then. He'll be reaching it.
I mean, it's good to see fighters at that age to be already talking about, I want to fight this champion.
I want to fight the best. I mean, that's what we talk about.
It's good. You know, they have confidence in themselves. That's good. If you think you could be one of the champions out there.
I think you have to feel that way, man. And I'll tell you, that's one thing that I love about Mikey Garcia said, I want to move up to 147 because that's where the baddest fighters in boxing right now are. So that's what I want to prove I'm the best. Deontay Wilder fought Ortiz because he said, look, if I say I'm the greatest in the world and I'm afraid to fight somebody who's the greatest, you know, who's one of them out there. I mean, it's just having that ability to just say, you know what, if I'm going to be the baddest, I got to fight the baddest. And no matter who they are and risk losing, I mean, that's just something. When you're not making business decisions, you're just a warrior. That's what the sport's supposed to be.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you're talking about young fighters. This kid's 19, Handy's only 19 years old. But you remember Mike Tyson was the youngest heavyweight?
20.
In the history of boxing, at the age of 20.
And that was, oh my God.
So we're talking about...
At heavyweight.
Heavyweight. Come on. So, I mean, if that's doable in a heavyweight division, it's doable in any way.
Exactly. All you got to do is be a once-in-a-generation talent.
Yeah, you got to have the talent. And you know what? This kid, even Floyd's been saying it, this kid is the next superstar in boxing.
Wow. Is he signed to Floyd? He should be.
I don't think so.
No, not.
But anyway, but that's neither here nor there. The thing is, remember the name? Haney.
Devin Haney. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
When you look him up when we get home, I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
I like seeing stuff like that because you get that ground floor that where Devin Haney is right now. You look at like where Ryan Garcia is, and then you go that next level and you see where Jermall Charlo just became this weekend, or Gervonta. And then there's that next level where Errol Spence became after beating Lamont Peterson.
Right.
Where they're talked about right here. And then there's that extra fame.
Yes. Yeah,
so and that's where you're trying to get.
And exactly. And so he's at the right time. And we're right there
with him.
Knowing exactly every step that he's taking. So we're going to be kind of guiding
following his career, yeah.
Guiding him with, not with advice as far as how to do it, because you got your trainers, you got your management team.
Yeah.
But we're on the media side, we're trying to say, watch out for this young man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this is what I'm trying to do. Hey, this is what, you know, promoting.
Give him the visibility. He deserves it, young man. And a lot of the things that we do in boxing is trying to just get the fans out there to get more involved, ask questions about who's going to be fighting next, you know, which are the best superstars.
Look, the more people that are interested, the better fighters we get and the better fights we get.
Yeah.
And that's what's exciting, man. I mean, I was thinking about my top five fights I want to see this, you know what I mean, that I want to see right now.
Right.
And it's like they're all names that, I mean, you go, I think number five, I think I'd have to say, if I had to get a number five, my top five, we'll do it right now. I'd say it would be the fight everyone wants to see, Keith Thurman versus anybody. Anybody at all. Just get him back in the ring, please. I want to see him. Number four, I think I want to see Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford. There's a lot of hoops to jump through for that one. That's why it's only four, but it's two unique super beast talents. Number three, I want Mikey Garcia and Lomachenko because I think he's the biggest test that Lomachenko could face around that age group or around that weight group. Number two is Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder, the one everyone's talking about. And number one is Triple G versus Canelo. I want to see it already.
Well,
those are the five fights I want to see.
That's a good five of your best picks.
Yeah.
That's great. And it is what the fans want to see. I'm sure that nobody would dispute
that
call of yours.
Yeah.
I think it's a good call. And this is what the fans want to see. Top-notch fights. And can you imagine in boxing that we can say we have five fights, not one. We have five fights that John just mentioned. Every single one of those fighters are top of their game and all in their prime.
Yes.
You know?
Their prime is a big one, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to fight in your heydays, you know, like it's almost over and you're on the way out. Now, we're not talking about those kind of fighters. Every single one of the fighters you just mentioned are all top of their game.
Oh.
And don't forget that Luis Ortiz, King Kong, the Cuban heavyweight who fought Deontay Wilder, you can't forget about him.
I don't. No. He's a bad man.
You know, he's bad. You know, I remember that day when he had Wilder in trouble in the seventh round.
Yes, hit him with that left.
Yeah, and Wilder was all over that ring. It reminded me of when I was refereeing Mike Tyson. He had Larry Holmes reeling all over the ring. He was chasing him. Larry Holmes finally put him down. That's what Deontay Wilder was in that position of Larry Holmes.
Let me ask you something, because this is one of those things that we have the luxury of having, you know, the greatest referee of all time on here, according to the promo. And let me say, there was a lot of talk after that. We never really talked about it. That Deontay Wilder, that they took too long to in between the rounds because they went and checked the gloves. Did that seem anything to you, or is that just the way the sport goes?
Well, you know, it was not the right time to call a timeout to look at the gloves or whatever. You know, timing. Referees have to know when you have to wait till there's a low in the action. You know, then they call time. But
I agree.
Especially if the guy...
Because it's going to look bad. And I don't think they were trying to...
Yeah, I know. But when you call time during a break period like that, when the guy is hurt...
Yes.
Don't want to call time there. That's not a low in the action.
No, it's not.
You know? But anyway, that's what the fans didn't like. But
And I understood the fans gripe with it. I mean, I do.
I understand that. So I think it was an honest mistake caused by the referee. And, you know, he's a referee... Giuseppe, I forgot his last name. Mm-hmm. But
No, he did a great job outside of that.
No, it wasn't Giuseppe. Giuseppe was Joshua versus
Parker. Well, you had your own qualms for that one. We talked about that one.
The one in New York.
It was at Barclays.
Yeah, the Barclays. Anyway, the referee made that call, and the fans were not happy with that.
Yeah, I've always wanted to ask you that. I can't believe we never talked about it because we were talking about the fight so much.
Yeah.
But being that you've had to make calls like that in the past, I was just curious what you had to say about it. Because anytime there's – that's one great thing about this show is anytime – I mean, Joe's done – he's judged, he's refereed, he's done it all, and he's everything above board. So you want – like if you want to know, you know, what how things are supposed to go, like what – by the book. So that's why I like that we can ask stuff like that, yeah, whenever anything specific comes.
You know, and us referees, we're not perfect. I tell all the officials – I was just in Spain last week. I was giving a seminar – the first thing I opened up giving a seminar to the officials out there was, nobody's perfect. We all gonna make mistakes, but we try to minimize our mistakes. So if I've done close to 200 world championship fights, if I've screwed up once or twice, you know what? It's okay. It's not that I screwed up 100 times. You're human. You know, you gotta make a mistake. You know, only God I think is perfect.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, we gotta make a little mistake, but we learn from our mistakes and we try to share and tell other officials. I get calls from officials from around the world. Say, Joe, I made this one call, and I think I made a mistake. I watched it on TV. I got a call last week by one of the referees. He made a mistake. I said, you know what, brother? We're all human.
Yeah.
You know, we all make mistakes, so don't worry about it. You know, we'll carry on. We learn from it. We go forward. We know that sometimes we have to try to see, okay, how can I live with myself? I made a mistake, and the media is burning me. He's telling me, I said, don't worry about it, brother. You know, it is busy. You want to be a referee, you got to have thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen, brother.
Yes.
But it's a business that we all get into because we love it and because we want to give the best we can. But it's always a learning process. It's not something that happens overnight.
Just like fighters, man. Exactly. They're not. You know what I mean? You have a prime. You don't start off. I mean, look at the same reason why Haney isn't going to be the fighter he is right now at 19 that he will be at 23.
Exactly.
You learn.
Yeah, you learn as you go along. So a learning process. And I tell referees out there, as a matter of fact, I'm thinking of doing something out here in Vegas real soon. A lot of people have been calling me and saying, Joe, you're a Hall of Fame referee. We want to get out to Vegas. We want to see if we can see you out there. Any way you can give us some classes as far as refereeing. I may start doing something out here.
Referee classes, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool.
You know, just with tourists are coming to Vegas. I've been getting so many calls. I said, you know what, I'll probably end up doing that just to satisfy our fans. They can spend a good morning, a good afternoon with us. And having to teach them a couple of techniques on the referee's duties and kind of educate them on the rules on boxing and how we
can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
We've been talking this has been a full half hour. The show's almost over. And we haven't said the word clenbuterol once. I'm so happy that boxing is back. We can finally talk about, I mean, we didn't even get to talk about Carl Frampton versus Donaire. I mean, we literally, boxing is back and we can talk about stuff that's happy again.
Donaire lost last Saturday.
Mm-hmm. He's a great heart, we all know, but Carl Frampton just outpointed him in every way. Same scorecard on all three judges, But hey, I mean, boxing's back, 2018, baby. I could not be more happy. I don't know about you.
What I can tell you fans is protect yourselves at all time, and remember, I'm fair but I'm firm. Touch them up.